Inner healing is the fast track to dealing with the internalized insecurities of our childhood experiences. We become an extraordinarily empowered individual. In fact, we don't have to overcompensate for everything because the confidence is the realm that we occupy. One of the things that Jesus wants to liberate us of is a poor self-image.
You're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall.
Hey friends, Dan Duvall here to remind you that danduvall.com is the home of the Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall podcast. You can go there, you can become a podcast patron and support what we're doing. This week, we want to remind all of you that are following us to hit that subscribe button and like this video on our YouTube channel, because that's how we are growing. We are so grateful for those of you that have done that as well. And finally, overcomeraccelerated.com is the location for those that are taking a healing journey from traumatic backgrounds to get an opportunity to both watch live demonstration in ministry and receive live demonstration of ministry from yours truly. Overcomeraccelerated.com is a holistic learning experience for those that are taking a healing journey to equip them, empower them, and help them along the way. It's a really great place. Check it out. And with that said, we're going to get started. Don't go anywhere. Hey friends, Dan Duvall here on Discovering Truth with what I'm calling a nugget. What's a nugget? 20 minutes of me talking about something. I love podcasting because podcasting allows you to say whatever you want for how long, however long you want. And there are a lot of benefits sometimes to the short and sweet. So what am I doing on today's podcast? We're going to do a nugget on self-image. The reality is that sometimes our image that we hold about ourselves is not accurate. In fact, it is oftentimes the case that our self-image is colored by trauma, lies, and broken belief systems. The reality is that God has an image of us. When God looks at us, he sees something, and he spends a lot of time trying to get us to see what he sees. In the Bible, there's a lot of conversation about becoming a new creation. And in fact, the Bible says, we are new creations. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. One of the things that happens when we come to God in Christ Jesus, that Jesus, he nails our sins, he nails our shortcomings, he nails our mistakes to the cross. And we get to operate from a state of forgiveness, where we are actually forgiven for the things that we have done, are doing, and will do, not because of a performance, but because of who he is. And so then God puts this new identity on the inside of us as we are in Christ. And that identity is a heavenly identity. And then God spends a lot of time trying to map us to the heavenly identity that we carry. And some of us really struggle with that. We don't want to align. We have a great deal of insecurity about aligning. And then sometimes we try to align with the heavenly identity, but we actually go after it from a place of insecurity to cover up for other deficits. It's interesting. The reality is that sometimes we have to start from a place of humility and say, God, I'm going to let you show me what you see in me. And I'm not going to argue with you. Like, if you show me that, I will embrace it. But we go into that from a place where we don't actually intend to convince anyone of the heavenly identity that we are allowing God to show us. At first, Because one of the things that goes wrong with identity and heavenly identity and self-image is that when our self-image is broken, we operate as a broken person. When our self-image is broken, but we get a revelation of a heavenly identity, and then we want people to react to us while respecting the heavenly identity with no demonstration of that heavenly identity being mapped to our manifestation that is our, you know, outward expression, we will run into conflict where people will actually politely decline to react to us out of the heavenly identity God is beginning to show us, and instead react to what they see. This is a fundamental challenge that many people find themselves in. I've talked to it where it's like, wait a minute, you know, I went into prayer, God showed me this, I'm this in his kingdom, I'm this and that. Why doesn't anyone act like that's true? And the answer is, well, but have you allowed God to map your outward expression to the truth of the inward reality? And some people want to skip that step. They want to be acknowledged for the inward reality that has not been mapped to the outward expression. They don't actually want to take the journey of transformation in behavior and in posture and in how they carry themselves and attitude and fruits of the spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all of the things that people experience. And so there can be this massive conflict. When we get to correcting issues of self-image, one of the first steps is to say, pause on all my trauma, pause on all of my broken perspectives. Yes, Jesus, I'm going to spend time with you so you can begin to show me who I am and your viewpoint and vantage point of me. And then I'm going to let that vantage point of me, someone that is fully accepted, fully loved, fully worth it, fully valuable, I am going to allow that to map to my outward expression through a process of transformation, and then allow people to react to the process, not to the expectation of something that is there yet hidden as an inward spiritual reality. It's amazing what happens when we simply allow people to respond to what we're presenting, and we just commit to presenting what God has said about us. This right here solves so many problems when it comes to the conversation on identity. We internalize the insecurities of our childhood experiences as our image. So as we're coming to God, what we have to understand is we're going to have to disarm and dismantle certain insecurities that have come from experiences that have, you know, colored the way that we think. Many of us don't have perfect childhoods. In fact, I would say that's 100%. Nobody has a perfect childhood. All of us draw some kinds of insecurities. You know, I know one of my big ones was bullying, because I actually went through bullying, some in middle school, some in high school. And, you know, there were insecurities around that because I was smaller by the end of middle school, going into high school, and I didn't feel physically capable at all times of standing up for myself. And so then I went into an insecurity and tried to compensate for that by working out a lot, getting stronger, doing everything I could to overcome that with overcompensation so that I could feel safe, really. And by feel safe, I mean avoid being bullied because I felt capable of protecting myself, right? These are the kinds of things we all go through. Some of us will go a lifetime trying to correct for an insecurity in our past. It's one thing to be working out and trying to get over a season of bullying when you're 18. It's another thing to still be doing certain patterns and behaviors at 58, trying to feel safe from the bullies that came after us at 13 years old, you know? But we do this. We internalize the insecurities of our childhood experiences as our image. And when we come to Jesus, we're like, hey, help me with my self-image. We have to allow Jesus to dismantle those things and say, look, you're not a bullied child. No, you're not a weak girl. No, you're not the child that was not good enough to have your mother's love. No, we have to allow him to correct that self-image so we stop doing this thing, compensating for deficits, because the compensation for deficits is a behavior and a lifestyle strategy is something the devil will take full advantage of all day long. You know, the devil studies people to understand our weak points, and they create a playbook on each and every one of us. And what they do is they map insecurities, and they say, okay, if this person starts to get closer to their calling or closer to the purpose that God put them in the earth for, this is the playbook. These are their insecurities. These are all the self-image issues that they have. So as soon as they start to cross the line and do something of impact, start targeting these, and we're going to have a good success rate of knocking them off of their heavenly scroll. Self-image is tied to many failures to launch in the kingdom of God and in a calling in Christ Jesus in general, because we get knocked out of the plan of God on the basis of insecurities causing us to make bad choices, bad decisions, to spend our focus on one thing when we should be focusing on something entirely different, etc., etc. This is one of the reasons why I believe in inner healing. Inner healing is the fast track to dealing with the internalized insecurities of our childhood experiences. Another thought, the feeling of powerlessness affects self-image. This point, I want to just say, is huge. You know, one of the things that people crave in the kingdom of darkness is power. That is actually what people are often enticed to the kingdom of darkness by. You have people that have felt very disempowered, maybe even been convinced that Jesus is a weak God that is only gentle and kind but doesn't know how to stick up for anybody. So they go the path of darkness and they go after power because they feel powerlessness, and they actually have powerlessness attached to a self-image somewhere inside of themselves that they're trying to compensate for and protect. This is interesting. One of the things that happens when there is no longer a part on the inside of us, any aspect of our heart or broken soul that feels the identity of powerlessness, we become an extraordinarily empowered individual. In fact, we don't have to overcompensate for everything because the confidence is the realm that we occupy. It is the very emanation of our personhood and expression. And that happens as we allow God to map us to the heavenly identity and heal our wounds and traumas. Can you imagine going into a situation and having no part on the inside of you that feels powerless? I mean, most of us have no idea what that concept is like because, you know, the path to the kind of healing that would yield a completely empowered individual throughout their whole soul is only, I think, recently being understood. And you know, this is a lot of the stuff that we do at Bride Ministries, and one of the things that the coaching and the ministry techniques the Lord has taught me to do have yielded. It's yielded an ability to go in and to allow, through the power of Jesus Christ, a repair to all of the broken places that house things like felt powerlessness associated with broken pieces of soul and the heart that then cause dysfunction in certain kinds of scenarios and events. It's amazing. So self-image, when we receive that correction from God, allows us to go into extraordinary places of personal manifestation. One of the things that really interrupts people as they pursue a renewed self-image is that they don't see immediate change, and then negative self-image gets reinforced. Let me explain. Someone believes, I'm a bad cook. And then you challenge them. Hey, cook, I bet you you're going to do better than you thought. And then they cook while believing in themselves, I can't cook. And they cook something that's actually bad. They actually don't do a good job. It's interesting because when they get the feedback, yeah, this wasn't that good, it actually reinforces the negative self-image. And this is oftentimes the dividing line between people that are going to go far in life and people that are not going to go far in life, because they get feedback and they either anchor the feedback to a broken belief system about who they are and what they're capable of, or they use the feedback to perfect what they are working on. In other words, come to a greater maturity around a thing. You know, I'm one of the individuals that I will get poor feedback, turn around and produce something twice as good. That's just the way I am. It's how I'm wired. Can't help it. And so I'm always going to be working towards mastery, no matter what the kind of feedback is that I'm getting or how critical or harsh it is. It's like, well, if it's really that bad of a job, then I'm going to, work on skill improvements and all kinds of other things. But when a person does not have that wiring and a negative feedback comes on something they have negative self-image around, all they do is take that negative feedback, anchor their self-image problem with it, and dig their heels into the ground. I am not good enough. I can't cook. I'll never cook again. That's sad. One of the things that Jesus wants to liberate us of is a poor self-image. And sometimes we have to realize what we're doing and why the people around us are so frustrated. When we take and internalize everything that comes at us as an assault on our image or self-image, as a accusation or as a belittling, whatever it is, and we deflect any kind of input that could actually be constructive in how it builds us up, we're not going to go far. I am so empowered because God has shown me that my self-image is anchored in Christ, that He is working out something extraordinary in my life. As I say yes, He makes me more and more like the image of me that He holds in His heart. And the shortcomings that I have and the areas where I'm not so good, I can improve. And I don't have to anchor poor feedback to negative self-image as a lifestyle choice. It's amazing. Breakthrough 101. You know, I train coaches every year, ministers. We license ministers at Bride Ministries. And when I put people through my mentorship, they now have a year of preparation to go through a mentorship with me, where I'm going to train them to work with survivors of satanic ritual abuse, mind control, government projects, some of the toughest trauma backgrounds there are. And we have extraordinary success, right? We're helping a lot of people, praise the Lord, glory to Jesus. As I'm training people, one of the things that I've learned is I cannot train a person that anchors necessary feedback to broken self-image. Can't be trained. Because then every opportunity for improvement becomes a dance around a person's triggers, and they don't end up very good at what they're being trained to do. Let me give some kingdom advice. Once we get the parts of us that trigger on necessary feedback healed, and we begin to allow Jesus to map our self-image to what He thinks about us, it allows us to receive the kind of feedback that we need to become more excellent in what we are setting our hands to do and arise to the occasion. When I train people, they need to arise to the occasion. Why? Because they're helping real people and they need to be good at it. They need to be confident. They need to have the power of God flowing through them. And that doesn't happen from a place of total brokenness and easily triggered conditions. So I want to say one more thing about self-image. Then we're going to wrap this nugget up. We can look at things that happen in our life as this was done to me because I'm nothing, or this was done to me because I'm something. You know, the cup is half empty, the cup is half full. We all go through stuff. We all go through stuff. And some of us go through extraordinary and very difficult stuff. I know. I hear all the stories. Mindset around processing our story goes a long way. And some of that is attached to self-image. When I work with people, we always work on identity as a part of the process. Because we have to understand God loves us, He cares about us, we're worth it, we're important, we're worth saving. He feels that way. The Bible says God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever would believe on Him would not perish but have everlasting life. God said the world was worth it. He sent a Son. The world includes you and I. So when we look at things that we need to overcome, we can look at things like, well, this was done to me because I'm nothing. But that's disqualified by the very act of God in sending His Son, Jesus Christ. He didn't send Jesus to the world or just to, you know, Dan or, you know, your favorite minister or the people that do good things. Like, He sent Jesus to die for everybody, which qualifies us all as having worth and value in the eyes of God because we're His creation. So when things happen to us, we can't say, oh, well, this is happening to me because I'm not valuable, because I'm a throwaway, because I'm the rejected and abandoned of God. These are the lies of the devil. When we change our focus and say, you know what, I'm going to embrace a self-image that says I have value before God. He's saving me because he decided I was worth it. There isn't a single part of me that Jesus doesn't love. And with his love, there isn't a single part of me that I can't love. These are the kinds of things that allow us to overcome a negative self-image and step into the power of God for overcoming even the most difficult things. When we look at our lives and say, you know, there was a lot of bad things that happened to me, but this was because of my assignment. This was because of my heavenly scroll. This was because the devil knew who God had sent in. And you know what? I'm going to take the rest of my life to remind him every day who the superior God is. Now that's the kind of attitude that's going to go a long way. Self-image, friends, it's a big deal. God is good. We'll catch you next time on Discovering Truth. God bless. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Visit me at dandeval.com, where you'll discover merch, books, and the opportunity to engage in our private social network. Join the tribe by subscribing to our email list and supporting this podcast.